Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a fascinating trip into that legal tension that always seems to exist between what a city wants to do and what state law says it can actually do. We're jumping into this because one of you, the learner, sent us a source stack about a conflict right in the heart of Oklahoma. On one side, you have the city of Shawnee trying to regulate vacant buildings with its ordinance 2818NS. And on the other, you have this really, really clear piece of state legislation, 11OS section 22110.1. So, you know, on the surface, the city is just trying to manage blight, property safety, that kind of thing. But when you look at the details of their registration form, the fees, the required plans, these huge escrow deposits, it starts to look like they might have, well, drastically overstepped.
Our mission for this deep dive is clear. We're digging into the sources to see if Shawnee's rule is a legitimate use of its power, or if state law already made their entire scheme null and void. We need to figure out if this is even legally permissible.
It really is a textbook example of state preemption. And the stakes here, especially for property owners, are remarkably high. When you put the language of the state law right next to the city's requirements, you see a head-on collision. The state legislature left very little room for interpretation here, and I think that's where we have to start.
Agreed. We can't really analyze what Shawnee is doing without first understanding the legal foundation. So let's unpack that controlling statute, 11OS section 22110.1. When did this law go into effect, and what was its main purpose?
So this law has been on the books, controlling, since 2014, and the legislative intent was crystal clear. It was meant to stop cities from operating these so-called vacant property registries. The state basically decided this was an area they were going to handle, or maybe more accurately, an area they were going to ban cities from regulating at all. The language is not subtle. The statute declares, and I'm quoting from your sources here, the registration of any real property by any municipality is hereby prohibited.
Prohibited. That's an absolute term. It doesn't say discouraged or limited. It just says it's prohibited. So does the law also ban, the teeth of these things, like attaching penalties if you don't comply?
Precisely. It goes on to unequivocally ban any local measure, whether it's an ordinance, rule, or regulation, that tries to require registration by threatening enforcement. And that includes fees, fines, any kind of penalty. So if the city says you have to register, and if you don't, you pay $500, that whole setup is explicitly outlawed.
Okay, so let's talk about the legal mechanism here, because this is really the key for the learner. We're talking about preemption. What does that actually mean? If Shawnee adopted this ordinance, say, back in 2010, before the state law was passed, is it grandfathered in?
No, and that's the power of preemption. It means the superior authority, in this case, the state legislature, has claimed total control over the topic. And any conflicting law at a lower level just, well, it ceases to exist. The statute is so explicit about this. It says any municipal law, doesn't matter if it was adopted before or after the 2014 effective date, is automatically null and void and unenforceable.
Null and void. So it's not just about winning a lawsuit down the road.
Exactly. It means the instant that state law went into effect in 2014, the local registration law was, legally speaking, just deleted. It carries zero legal weight today. The legislature did this specifically to stop cities from creating or enforcing these exact types of registries.
That is a massive legal hammer. Okay, now that we understand the absolute ban from the state, let's turn to what Shawnee's actually doing and see just how far they seem to have gone. The requirements in their ordinance, 2818NS, they go way, way beyond simple nuisance abatement. This vacant property building registration form demands a mandatory vacant building plan. So the owner has to commit in writing to one of three options: demolition, securing the vacancy, or active rehabilitation.
And this commitment, it comes with a monumental financial burden. This is what immediately triggers the state's ban on fees and penalties. We aren't talking about a $50 administrative fee or something.
No. What are we talking about here?
For residential properties, the city requires a mandatory $10,000 escrow deposit.
$2,000.
And for commercial properties, which are often the main target of these things, the deposit skyrockets to a massive $75,000.
$75,000. When the learner sent this in, that was the number that just, it really jumped off the page. And I can already hear the city's counterargument. How would this statute defend against a word game? You know, a city attorney might argue, oh, this $75,000 isn't a fee for registration, it's a performance bond to ensure public safety.
That is exactly the argument a city would try to make. But under this specific statute, that argument just falls apart. Shawnee's demand is tied directly to the act of registration. You have to submit the form, which has your plan and your insurance proof, and then you have to submit the escrow. If you fail to do any of that, you get hit with penalties. So the moment you tie that huge financial demand, call it an escrow, a bond, whatever you want, to the mandatory act of registering the property, you've violated the state law. This whole system, the notarized signatures, the annual renewals, the required plans, it is a full-blown, real property registration regime. The very thing the state bans.
So it's a regulatory overlay, really. It uses the status of being vacant as a trigger to force action or, I guess, extract money.
That's precisely right. And this leads us to the critical distinction because, you know, in law, there's almost always an escape hatch or some narrow exception a city might try to use.
Right. So are there any allowances under this state law that let the city do something with vacant properties?
Yes, but they are extremely narrow. The legislature knew that cities have general police powers, you know, for nuisances and emergency safety.
So what can a city legally collect?
Minimal contact information. The name and phone number of the owner or a designated agent. This is purely for public safety, welfare, nuisance abatement. They just need to know who to call if the building is on fire or a wall is collapsing.
Okay, so the state allows a simple emergency contact list. But what's the crucial restriction on even that?
They're explicitly prohibited from collecting a fee for maintaining that list. If you're only gathering basic contact info for emergencies, you can't attach any money to it. And look, the city can still enforce all its other nuisance ordinances, securing windows, cutting grass, whatever. They just can't use a mandatory registration requirement as the trigger for that enforcement.
And that's where Shawnee's ordinance doesn't just, you know, exceed the exception. It seems to completely ignore it. The required insurance, the mandatory plans about what you're going to do with the building, and those giant $10,000 to $75,000 escrow deposits. I mean, that is so far beyond just collecting a phone number for safety.
It's a spectacular failure to stick to the statutory limits. The exception allows for notice. The ordinance demands regulation, financial compliance, and mandated action. It's a different universe.
So let's widen the lens a bit. Is Shawnee an outlier here, or is this happening all over Oklahoma? What's the statewide consensus?
Shawnee appears to be acting against the accepted legal guidance in the state. Our sources point to the Oklahoma Municipal League, the OML, and they're sort of the authoritative voice for city attorneys across Oklahoma.
And what do they say?
The OML issued a really clear warning to all its members shortly after 2014. They advised that these vacant property registry ordinances are expressly preempted by the state law and they have to be repealed.
That kind of guidance carries some serious weight, right? It's basically the state's professional organization telling its own members, stop, you will lose this fight. And we have evidence that most major cities actually listen.
We do. Right after the state law took effect, Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Norman, Lawton, Midwest City, Dell City, and Broken Arrow.
So all the big ones.
All the big players.
Yeah.
They all repealed their vacant property registration ordinances. They acknowledge that the state statute made their local law completely unenforceable. So when you see every other large city in the state recognize the state law takes precedence and Shawnee doesn't, it strongly suggests Shawnee is operating way outside the legal consensus.
That's extremely telling context for the learner. But it does bring up an important question. If this law is so clearly void, why haven't we seen a bunch of court cases striking down the Shawnee ordinance?
This is a classic legal scenario. The lack of appellate court cases doesn't mean the ordinance is legal. It means the statute is so clear that cities usually just fold before it reaches court.
So when a city folds, what does that look like for a property owner? Do they still have to pay a lawyer to fight it?
Unfortunately, yes. They often have to get a lawyer involved. But the reason cities fold is an economic one. It's just fiscally irresponsible for a city to spend tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars defending a law that's so clearly preempted. As soon as a city attorney gets a formal challenge, they look at the state statute and realize they have almost no chance of winning. And on top of that, there's always the risk of getting sued for a civil rights violation, alleging the city enforced a law the state legislature explicitly outlawed. The sheer threat of that usually forces them to settle quickly and repeal the ordinance.
That is crucial context. So the lack of a big court ruling is actually evidence of how clear the state law really is.
Exactly. The statute is so definitive that fighting it is just seen as a complete waste of city money. So the conclusion here is it's pretty unshakable. Shawnee's Ordinance 2818-NS appears to be void, unlawful, and unenforceable. It violates every single thing forbidden by the state statute.
Okay, so Having established the strong legal ground against the city, let's talk about actionable steps. If the learner or any property owner is facing this, what can they do? The first and most aggressive option from our sources is a direct legal challenge. A property owner could seek what's called a declaratory action, basically asking a judge to formally declare the ordinance void, and they could also seek an injunction to stop its enforcement immediately.
Right. Or they could start with a less aggressive but still very important step, formally demanding the city cease enforcement. This is just a legal notice that says, hey, we know you're enforcing a preempted law and we'll hold you liable if you continue. That puts a lot of pressure on the city manager and the city attorney without having to file a full lawsuit right away.
And what about the money? Given these huge escrow deposits, could they get that back?
Yes. And this is maybe the most valuable piece of information for a property owner. They could file requests for the disclosure and reimbursement of any fees, fines, or escrow funds collected under this ordinance since 2014.
Because the city had no legal right to take it in the first place.
Precisely. If the ordinance is void, the city had no lawful authority to demand or hold those funds. You have a very strong legal argument to demand the return of any $10,000 or $75,000 escrow. They were unlawfully collected.
This deep dive really highlights that constant friction between, you know, local goals and individual property rights. Knowing the difference between a city mandate and state preemption is just incredibly powerful.
It is. I mean, the state legislature made its intent crystal clear back in 2014. Local governments cannot require citizens to register their property. So the ultimate challenge here isn't just about cleaning up vacant buildings. The city can do that through other legitimate means. It's about a municipality choosing to enforce a system that state law has already outlawed. And that's a powerful reminder of where legal authority truly rests.